Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. We are halfway through. Gotta love Wednesdays, man. You have to have some reason to love it. And here you go. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Got a great guest coming on here. I got to get through these sponsors real quick. I want to thank them all for being a part of the program. Build My Future, Woodman Controls, DMOS or Des Moines Orthopedic, Palmer Group, Northwest Bank, and BetMGM. I couldn't do this show without them. I appreciate everything they do. My next guest is at KOHare55 on Twitter. It's Coach O'Hare. Kev, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, my man. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Good to hear from you. Good to get to talk to you. You happened to drop me a note today, and I couldn't be happier to talk about this gentleman with you. I just don't actually think that everybody knows just how many people Joe Cattage has helped in his life to be a coach, and you happen to be one of them.
Yeah, you know, I'm fortunate, and as I get into that, real, you know, a couple of weeks ago I was on a podcast, and it was a basketball. It's called Shooter's Touch. It's a great podcast, and they were asking about my start to coaching and everything, and a little bit about my background, and I went into details. And obviously, my coaching background started with Joe Cattage when he was the coach at Dowling, and I said that, but I didn't say his name. So I took a lot of heat, Gary, and my house got egged. My tires became flat. I mean, it got pretty rude.
South Side, buddy, stay away if you're going to be mean.
So I talked to him today, and I told him I'm going to clear my name. And so, yeah, Joe Cattage was how I kind of got started way back when he was coaching at Dowling. And, you know, he's kind of been through the ranks. And like you said, he's mentored and coached a ton of kids and made a huge impact. Yeah, I made a huge impact, and last year he was at Centennial, and so yeah, he's one of the best around. So
absolutely, that's the difference, though. Southsiders, they sneak up on you and get you. Eastsiders like me and my crew, we go right at you.
you're right, but you, and this is going to shock you, but he's turned West Side. He's moved.
I know it. Isn't that funny?
I know.
Oh,
it is.
No,
but he's
Joe,
lost a little bit of his edge.
Yep, Joe's a great guy. We got so much stuff to talk about. Let's start with the NCAA championship. Let's do both. Let's start with the women's game first. This is what I said earlier this week, and I wanted to get your take on it. After watching South Carolina, number one, they have Dawn Staley. I don't know. I mean, Gino Auriemma is a great coach. Man, Dawn Staley's pretty darn good, and her resume is so good. That is a great team, and Alea Boston is the best player on that great team. It doesn't make her the best player in college basketball. She's close, but she's not the best player in college basketball. But she's the best player on a great team that's not going anywhere because they're all coming back. So you're going to have to deal with them. But what did you think of that game in totality?
You know, really good. I thought it was going to be a little closer. Just UConn being UConn and traditional, their tradition and Geno and all that stuff. And obviously they got, you know, 4- and 5-star recruits left and right. I've seen UConn play more than I've seen South Carolina. So that's probably why I thought UConn would hang around a little longer than they did. I mean, South Carolina is just so dominant, so good. And then, you know, them losing in the SEC tournament or whatever, that just fueled them probably. And you know, you never want to lose, but you can say it's a good loss if you're a coach and use it. And then back to Dawn Staley, I mean, she's just, you know, she's a younger version of Geno at the time. You know, Geno back in the day would get all these people, and if you're a female coming up and you know and understand the game of basketball, how do you not want to play for Dawn Staley? And so from a recruiting standpoint, that's huge for her. And yeah, so they just keep pumping them out there. And like you said, majority of that team's coming back next year, so they're going to be tough.
And when you have, you know, at your practice, you have Diana Taurasi come and Sue Bird come, and all these people come to your practices because they have Dawn Staley in such reverence. And they're two of the greatest basketball players of all time. along with her. So it is very interesting. Here was another take that I gave this week. I wanted to kind of get your take on this too. And it was a buddy of mine, and we were talking about Paige and Caitlin. They've always been compared. And I said, you know, it's really funny. Even as good as both of them are, they're almost 180 from each other on how they run their game. The thing they have in common, they don't like to lose, and they're really good basketball players. But they play their game totally different. I told people that Azia Fudd from Connecticut, when healthy, is more like Caitlin Clark than Paige Beckers is like Caitlin Clark, because Azia Fudd can score from everywhere.
Yep. Yeah. And Paige, you know, she's more, you know, she's got a lot of finesse to her game.
Yeah, she
and
does.
Some of these other people that we're kind of talking about, they're kind of cutthroat, you know, type people, cut from a different cloth. Not that Paige isn't, because she is. It's just more of a finesse type game. And, you know, the pull up jumper on the mid range, the Chris Paul off the screen, but she's got that edge, like you said, hates to lose, and lights come on, bleachers come out, you're going to see a different type of person.
And here's, I mean, this is old school, a little old school. I think of, when I watch Paige play, I think of Walt Frazier. Smooth, slide, you know, yeah. never changes emotion, maybe gets excited every once in a while, but you know, I see Paige, or I see Caitlin, I mean, she wants to wear her feelings on her sleeve. I think she thinks she plays better when she does that. No matter if it's good feelings, bad feelings, I think to her, any feeling gives her an edge. And it's just going to be so much fun getting to watch those two play two more years.
Yeah, and I mean, women's basketball, you look at a lot of those teams in the top 10, you know, Iowa State's got a bunch of people coming back. Oh. Iowa's got a bunch of people coming back. Connecticut, a bunch of people coming back. South Carolina, Stanford. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, women's college basketball, the top 10 is just going to be so cutthroat, and then obviously teams after that are still pretty darn good.
And they got good recruits coming in too. They got recruits that both Iowa State and Iowa have recruits coming in that are going to enhance their team, because it gives them, you got a couple of sharpshooters, you got a couple of bigger girls that can dribble and make moves.
Yeah.
It's going to be women's basketball is going to be exciting. I think you saw that when you start to creep up to 50 to 65%, giving them the same thing that you give the men's program, how well women's basketball and women's sports is going to be. I think it'll even be bigger next year. So it's going to be a ton of fun. Once again, we're talking to Kevin O'Hare. He's at KOHare 55 on Twitter. Let's talk about Kansas and North Carolina. What was your initial take after watching that whole game?
Wow, how good these two teams are. I mean, and then not hearing some of the names throughout the year very often or frequently, like the Caleb Love and the RJ Davis, like their names were touched on throughout the year, of course, but those two guys probably made themselves a lot of money if they decided to. And you know, Brady Manek, obviously from transferring from Oklahoma, always a steady shooter and stuff, but like, all of these guys elevating their games, and then Kansas, of course, as well, with the Brown kid and Obagi and McCormick and Remy Martin, right, coming off the bench and just blowing up. Again, everybody elevated their games for six games that they played in, and I thought the Duke-North Carolina Final Four game and the Kansas-North Carolina game were two of the best games I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree, and here's the really funny thing, especially for, I think, Kansas. I think they had a little easier time with Villanova losing one of their players, and it was kind of their glue guy that they lost.
Yep.
But I think Kansas, playing in the Big 12 and having that defensive pressure on them almost every game, because that's the way the games are played, I just think that if it had been the other way around and Kansas would have had a 12-point lead, I don't think that North Carolina could have came back, but I actually thought that Kansas was going to come back.
Yeah, no, and I did too. I didn't think they were going to come back and take a 5-point lead, but I thought they were going to come back and get it to 2-3, maybe even, but to you know, go up 55-50 at one point. And I mean, yeah, again, whatever was said at halftime, the defensive mentality, Obagi and McCormick talking, you know, having their own little team meeting before Self gets in there. Self comes in and does his thing. You know, the panic button hasn't been pushed. We were just here with Miami last week. You just got guys that were in the moment. They understood their roles. They understood what needed to be done on the defensive end. Get a couple stops here, get some buckets, take advantage of some mismatches. You know, North Carolina is obviously not very deep. So yeah, I mean, it was unreal.
It was. And I'm glad you mentioned, the coaches, because, with Bill Self, you know, I'm an Iowa State fan, so we can't like Bill Self, but he's a really good coach. There's no, what he gets out of his players, that's not easy to do. And I understand that. But I told some people that if I had a young man in my family who wanted to play basketball and was really good, that having Hubert Davis as a coach, and I know he's new, and I know, you know, he's done a lot, but he hasn't done that in coaching. The way he acted and the way he talked about his kids and everything, man, I would let my kids jump into that program at any point in time. And then you just remember that it's also in North Carolina.
Right, right. And to be honest, when you hear the coaches in the post-game talk, and, you know, each year it becomes a little bit more, I guess, bolstered for that reason. But everyone says always the right things, and I know they believe it. And they're always going back to their kids and how hard they work and things along those lines, all the right things. You know, but I feel like coaches learn from each other throughout the tournament and throughout the year on what's being said and what's not being said, and obviously the society and world we kind of live in. I mean, depending on that, well, how does Bob Huggins or Bobby Knight handle that loss? And some of the, you know, are they saying those right things as well? Or are they just so bad that they're so tough and so upset and so mad that they're saying this, this, and this? So it's just funny because you're right. Hubert, salt of the earth guy, is how he comes off. Self is kind of the same way now. He's kind of calmed down over life.
Yep.
I'm just always intrigued listening to the post games, watching the post game handshakes. I just think everyone continues to learn more and more from each other and how certain situations are handled.
I agree with that. And it's, you know, I think that the way players are today, you can't be that that hothead or be that type of coach. I don't think the kids are equipped to deal with it, and I don't think that they. That's not the kind of environment, and you can tell who the good coaches are because they can change. And Bill Self has done that. And I actually think he picked up some fans after watching him go through all the things that he did. When you look ahead for Iowa and Iowa State, both men's and women's, we already talked about the women, how I think both programs have the ability to do better than they did last year, and they both had great years in the top 10. I think the men's program, I think Iowa has some work to do, and I think Iowa State as well. But I think that now having a year under TJ, he got some kids to stay. I still think they're going to get a couple more transfer portal kids. I think it's really looking up for both of these programs. I think Iowa just is going to have to I think they're going to have to jump in the transfer portal, which they don't do very much, but they're just going to have to find an offense that suits them now because they don't have Keegan and they don't have Luca Garza. They're not used to not having somebody that they can just give the ball to and say, go.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think both of them have a lot to prove next year with the people that are leaving. But I think both coaches have proven themselves in general, especially this last year with Fran. Luca and Louise can't leave. Keegan has a breakout year. Chris has a pretty darn good year. You know, I don't think you look at that team with the exception of Keegan. It's like, God, there's a lot of great players out here. And Fran, you know, got so much out of them. Same thing with TJ. You don't know what he's got coming in. Last year, he gets so much out of Brockington. He gets so much out of some of these other transfers. So I think the coaches have proven themselves. I think the teams are going to have to do it again next year because there's so many missing pieces, I think, especially with a couple transfers from Iowa. And things along those lines. But I think Fran and TJ did unbelievable jobs.
Absolutely. Once again, we're talking to Coach Kevin O'Hare, who coaches freshman basketball at Dowling and varsity basketball as well. And I saw the report that came out. It went through the number of students in schools. And This is crazy that Dowling is three schools away from not being able to qualify for 5A football because of size of class.
Wow, I did not see that, actually.
They are 33rd in the state at 1,030 kids, and you have to be in the top 36 to stay, and you have Iowa Liberty that's down there. I mean, you have some schools that are below them that could – I mean, Norwalk jumped all the way up to 780. If Norwalk keeps making jumps like that, you just don't realize that, you know, about the difference. Southeast Polk was on top. They have 1,800. Johnson had 1,752. Lincoln at 1,740. Linmar at 1,733. And then Des Moines East at 1,502. Ankeny Centennial and Ankeny are both there. I mean, they're going to start a new school here once again. I mean, they're both over 1,300, and that's two schools.
I think they're going to have to change their rules a little bit. Otherwise, 4A football is in trouble.
Yeah, 4A football is in a lot of trouble. Dowling's going to become the Notre Dame of high school football. In order to make that work, because
that is crazy numbers though.
It is, and I mean, you're talking 800 kids, freshman, sophomore, junior. That's 200 kids a class. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And you can see why these schools are building and doing everything they have. So I'm glad you got to come on today, Coach. It's always fun. I'm glad we got to give Joe Kadich some radio time. He deserves it. And as Absolutely. Always, it's good to talk to you, buddy.
You too. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Talk to you later. Coach Kevin O'Hare. All right. If you like that, man, we have Kevin Lehman. We're going to do a wrap-up of the NCAA tournament, where NCAA stands in everything and where we're headed. He's going to be coming up next. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 AM, FM, and 700 AM.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and Breeze, Iowa Sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday once again. Drive safely home. Enjoy. We're well over halfway through this work week. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. My next guest is going to be brought to you by Build My Future. It's a hands-on skilled trade event where students can go in and speak to employers and see what it's like to work in some of these industries like manufacturing, commercial and residential construction, restaurant, culinary, hospitality, automotive mechanic, emergency services, trucking, logistics, IT, a whole bunch of things. For some of those kids out there that don't think they need to go to school for 4 years, here is something that you can do. A lot of money to be had out there. My next guest is at K Lehman Sports on Twitter. His name is Kevin Lehman. Kevin, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good. I tell you what, those teams, this is the week I go through withdrawals because the college basketball season is over. I have a hard time with that.
It is. And even with the transfer portal and all the things that are going on, it's such a great 3 weeks, right? You get the conference championships, you get the NCAA, you get the championship, and then you're just like, oh man, that was a lot. But you start to miss it quickly.
That first week is incredible because there's so many games. St. Peter's gave us that great Cinderella story and just some great matchups. And then you kind of taper down that Sweet 16. And I tell you what, when it all comes to an end, it's like you hit a brick wall. It's like, boom, what am I going to do now?
Do you think that, I mean, it was a little bit of mix, but you still had a lot of the Blue Bloods were still there. Do you think that's ever going to change, Kevin? Or is you always going to have that you know, Duke, North Carolina, Villanova, Kansas, you're always going to have them? Or as time goes and players, you know, have different aspirations, maybe they want more playing time or whatever, you think that's ever going to change?
Well, if you talk about the Final Four, you remember Wichita State got there, Loyola got there in 2018, George Mason. But I think with today's landscape and the transfer portal, it's going to be more difficult.
Yep.
For those mid-majors to make that run, to even do what St. Peter's did, because, you know, those, if you're a mid-major, you become like the, you know, the training club for the pro team, you know, like the Iowa Cubs for the Chicago Cubs. They're just going to pick and pluck those good players. We're, you know, look, here's a great example, and I don't know where I stand on this one, Steen. Joseph Yesufu. Yes. I was kind of criticized him all year because, okay, you go to Kansas, you're not getting any playing time. But that dude's got a national championship ring, and look at the experience he went through, even though he hardly played. So I don't know if he made the right choice or not. I guess it depends on what Joseph thought about it.
You know, I said that the first day, on Monday, the first segment I did, I said, you know, he had a really great thing at Drake. They were going to be really, really good with him. They were really good without him. And he didn't get playing time, and I said, and I'll be darned. The next day I came in, he goes, and he looks pretty happy because he has the national championship. So that's so tough.
He's kind of and guess what? You know, they're going to have reunions for that Kansas team forever. Those guys become icons when they win a national championship. You know, he'll never have to buy a beer in Lawrence, Kansas, or anywhere in Kansas for the rest of his life. So maybe Joseph made the right decision. You know, I think you and I probably rather play, but.
No, I totally would rather. Yeah, I would. But winning a championship would be pretty cool. But I it's just, it's strange to me that that's kind of where some of these young men go. When you are, the fact that the transfer portal is as big as it is, and with 1,000 kids in there, it's almost two per team in Division I basketball. Do you think that it's always going to be this way, or is it just, do you think it'll slowly start to dwindle down a little bit?
I think if you see more kids end up without a place to go, it might dwindle some. And here's what people don't understand. You know, last year, meaning this past season, 21-22, you could carry above your 13 scholarship limit because of the COVID. Now, next year, 22-23, you got to be the 13 scholarships. But there are still guys cycling through that have that extra fifth year for COVID. I mean, it's going to take three more years. So there's not as many spots available as there was last year. That's going to have an effect. There's going to be some players at the end of this, like, you know, I've got no place to go. Can I go back to school I was at? It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because it becomes a numbers game right now, Steen. There just aren't – there's X amount of scholarships available.
It is, I had a couple of quick questions on how the game's played. I think the way the game is played right now, I wasn't as critical with the refereeing as I was on, and I'm hoping that you, I mean, we're kind of old school. I hope you agree with me. I don't like the fact that they're allowing defensive players to knock offensive players out of either dribbling towards the basket or even making a cut towards the basket. I think they have to clean that up, Kevin.
Well, what's happened is they used to let the officials officiate by their feel. And the good ones have a great feel for the game. Because the old rule was, you know, if he doesn't get a competitive advantage, I'm not blowing the whistle. But now you've got a bunch of bureaucrats that are evaluating these officials, and it's become impossible for them to do their job.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, hey, you didn't call this, you should have called that. Everything, every play they're being analyzed on, if they want to move off the ladder and do NCAA games, Final Four, Sweet 16. So if the bureaucrats have made it impossible for an official to be good at what they do, because, you know, the great ones just had a feel for it.
Right. And they could, and the thing that they did the best too, and they don't do this as much, they explained after the games. I mean, they had press conferences. They don't do that anymore. I remember watching, you know, refs say, listen, this is how we called the game. We all got together. We knew what we were doing. It was kind of nice to have that. The second one I had is the NCAA men's is the only basketball that's played in halves. I watched a bunch of women's basketball this year, and I think the quarter thing and how they do the fouls and stuff, would that make NCAA men's basketball better, worse, or it wouldn't make a difference?
It would make it even a better game.
Yes.
The women do this.
That means a lot to me.
Basketball, yeah, advancing the basketball in the last 2 minutes.
Yes.
Well, you'll have to at the end line, but I would take a step further. I would say you can, if you're ahead, you can't advance it. Then you have to go through the press.
Yep.
Because now you can be ahead and you can advance it in front of your bench and you don't have to go through the pressure. So I think if you added that little tidbit to it, and here's what, you know, I do a lot of TV shows with Rob Brooks, who does the Iowa women. And he loves the quarter system because now you've got four times where you're in a situation, a clock situation, where it's running down, plus the ability to advance that basketball. So he loves the quarter system, and I think so too. But what I don't want to lose, I don't know how you do it, Steve, I love the one-on-one.
Right.
That puts so much pressure on that foul shot that they've taken the one-on-one out of the women's game. So if somehow you go quarters and keep that one-on-one in, I would love it.
Yep, I agree with that. And I think that it does. I mean, it made the women's game more enjoyable. There wasn't a lot of time. I mean, almost, and you're so right, almost all of the timeouts were at the ends of the quarter so they could advance. I mean, that's where they were using their timeouts.
Yeah.
So knowing that.
See,
go ahead.
My niece played at Co. She's like the all-time leading scorer at Co. And graduated about 3 years ago. So that's when I first started watching the women's games. And Simpson played at Co. in a playoff game. It went like two overtimes. And Simpson advanced that ball every time he's in a late-game situation, had it from his bench like 5 seconds or less to get a shot off. And I thought it was really exciting. That's the first time I'd seen it, and I think it's a great rule.
If we had to do a look ahead to all four teams in the state of Iowa, let's start with UNI. UNI's had kind of a tough go here, losing Noah Carter. Ben Jacobson's such a good coach. I was kind of looking at UNI and Drake to start, and you know, Drake had a great year. I think they're just going to get better. What's your take on UNI as well?
Well, I think it depends on what AJ Green does. I really think he's waiting to get an NBA evaluation because last year he couldn't because of hip surgery. 2 years ago, he didn't get the NBA evaluation because of COVID. He had it after his freshman year. So I think he's looking to see what those people tell him, whether it makes a decision whether he's going to come back. But I don't see him transfer to Iowa State, which a lot of people are throwing that rumor out there. I don't see that happening. I think he either turns pro or comes back for another year at UNI. So if they got him, that's a pretty good backcourt with Bowen Bourne, Heisey back there. They got Trey Campbell coming in from Cedar Falls, All-State player. But their issue is now Austin Fife. You know, he's going to see if he can get something to help him medically with the long-haul COVID that affects his lungs. If he doesn't, he said, you know, I'm not going to come out here and play 2 minutes a game. It's just not worth it. They're going to have a big hole in the middle. Cole Henry's one guy. They got a couple of redshirts sitting out. And of course, the loss of Noah Carter. This kid's an all-league player.
Yeah, that was tough.
What happened to mid-majors. That's a tough one to lose him because, you know, I put him on my first team ballot.
Yeah, he played really well. He played not, I mean, his expectations when he played here, but it's still, you know, his expectations in high school was really good. But I thought last year he'd really turned the corner. And I agree with you with Campbell coming in. And if AJ comes back, AJ can play more of the small forward. But you have three guys that can all shoot and handle the ball. In this time of how the game is played, that's huge.
Yeah, and they're still developing a program at UNI. They've got four redshirts sitting out that they're developing. So one of those guys is going to step up and help them. And, you know, Titan Anderson had some sparks. He can't shoot it, which makes him a little bit of a Tywan Pickford type, but he's one of their better athletes. So that's a program that's going to be in solid shape. And when you look at Drake, Sturts is back. Roman Penn is back. I think Hintz will come back. And they got the best freshman in the league. Another guy that was on my first team bout, Tucker DeVries, is a stud. So is Darnell Brody coming back? They got some pretty good pieces there to build around.
They do. University of Iowa has to do a few things. I think people are going to be surprised at how good Chris Murray can be with Keegan not there. But they got some pieces. I think the same of as much as I love Darren DeVries, Peyton Sanford. I thought he should have gotten a lot more playing time. But he's going to be a good player too. What's your thoughts on Iowa?
Their core is good. Let me take these names here. You got Tony Perkins. You got Patrick McCaffrey. You got Chris Murray. You got Aaron Ulis. You got Peyton Sanford, you mentioned. Connor McCaffrey announced today he's coming back. Philip Bobrovsky coming back was huge for them. They got seven core guys. Then they got two really highly talented freshmen. Josh Dix, I've had players with that injury. He'll be able to play next year, probably put a titanium rod in his tibia or fibia. Desante Bowen is getting blown up pretty big here. The more and more we hear about him, they got to add, as we all know, they need some bigs up front.
Yep.
They, where is Riley Mulvey? He's probably not quite ready. If they can add two pieces there, I think they're pretty solid core guys. And Connor McCaffrey can guard fours if he needs to. He gives that luxury of playing all four positions at either end of the court. So I like the core that Iowa has. And can Chris Murray take the same step his twin brother did? I think that's what most people are banking on. If that happens, it's going to be a pretty solid Iowa team.
And I think Patrick McCaffrey can help too. I like watching him play. I always have. Iowa State, they, you know, talking freshmen coming in, you get Taman Lipsey, you get Eli King, who I had some more people send me stuff today. Eli King is an athlete, Kevin. My goodness. You know, and they've got some pieces there. I think Iowa State's going to be okay too. And TJ, you know, coming off that year, I think it even showed how good of a coach he is to go through that kind of slump and not panic and not do any of that and come back and make it to the Sweet 16.
Hey, they just did what they were doing. They just did it better. They kind of refocused, and hey, here's who we are. You know, they're real limited offensively. We saw that in some of those games, but they got the same thing. They got seven core guys led by Hunter. You got Caleb Grill coming back. You got Kalsher, Cooch, Jones, and Aruna. As far as I know, all those guys are coming back. That's seven pretty strong guys, and I like what TJ's doing. He's got three highly talented freshmen coming in, and he's sprinkling in those guys from that transfer portal, Trey King, Jeremiah, is it Williams from Temple? Solid guys that got a lot of playing time. Same issue as Iowa. They got to find some help up front. But I tell you what, when I watched North Carolina and Kansas, they only had one, what you would call dominant big. They didn't have a bunch of backups. Back when I coached, you wanted 15 fouls in that post.
Exactly.
So you saw both those teams. Yeah, both those teams played small ball. And I think that's the way college basketball is going now, Steen. I don't think you need those 15 fouls, those three big bodies inside anymore, because you can go small ball and stretch teams out.
Yeah, and the one thing that's constant in a lot of these teams, it's getting stressed more in high school, if you can't play defense, you can't play in the NCAA anymore. I mean, these coaches expect you to get up in people's grill and play defense. And if you can't do that, you can't get on the court.
Well, we watched that game Monday night, and that was speed. Both teams had tremendous speed in the backcourt. I mean, once Kansas got that thing out of the half court, it was a 100-yard sprint for those dudes.
Oh, it was the best. Kev, you always make my day. Thanks, buddy. Can't wait to talk to you again.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you later. Kevin Lehman, been everywhere. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. I got the last segment in the first hour coming up right after this break.
Sign up at vacareers.va.gov.
1700 The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Hump day. Almost over. Weather is, I mean, it is crazy windy out today. My goodness. We're going to have a little bit of bad weather, and then a little bit of good weather, and then a little bit of bad weather. So, betting odds if we get one more snowstorm. Being of someone that works in the property management field, I hope that's a no, but I know better than that. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. Website 1700thechamp.com. The podcast for yesterday's show is already up. I did that so I could get Palmer Group to have a copy of the interview that I did with Mike Bringle yesterday with Scott and I. I think they were pretty happy with that, and can't wait to get to do some more. So very excited about having Palmer Group as a part of this this team here. I can't thank enough Coach Kevin O'Hara and Kevin Lehman. Talk about two great guests to start your Wednesday off. Holy buckets. Now you're stuck with me for the rest of the time, but, man, there's so much to talk about. I'm going to bring in another sponsor here, Des Moines Orthopedic, or Lazy Steen here. It's DMOS to me. It's just all how it was taught to me. Des Moines Orthopedic, one of the best orthopedic centers. I'm telling you right now, it's one of the best in the country. They have so many people that are so dedicated in helping and doing things, not only for high school sports, for your weekend warriors that like to play sports, us that hurt themselves playing golf, all of us, people that have been injured and need specific things. Des Moines Orthopedic is top notch, and everybody that works there is the same, and it's just so much fun to be able to have them be a part of this program. You can go let me hop on here just to make sure. You can go to DMOS.com. You can go through and you can see everything that they have, everything that they do. You can get appointments online. You can see, you know, if they have your health records there. You could pay your bill there. All the services, everything about them, there is no better. That's all I know. There is no better than DMOS. I'm so happy to be part of that. So we'll have more interviews coming up. I know that we have, we're going to do some talking on, they're a part of the IMT marathon, and we're just going to keep bringing more and more people on to talk about, you know, their specialties, what they do, you know, how they got started, just to get to know, you know, the people from DMOS. So that's really exciting. And it makes the program a lot of fun. Okay, I don't even know where to start. There's so much going on. I mean, still, the biggest story of the day still is Tiger looks like he's getting ready to play tomorrow. The weather still, I think it might cooperate. I believe, now I heard a lot of people today, well, how is it such a big deal that he has to walk? Walking the Masters is brutal. A lot of elevation changes, more than what you would think when you're looking at it, when you're driving to go to the Masters, and before you get there, you're like, I wonder, it's saying it's just around the corner, man. What kind of golf course is this going to be? And boom, you come around the corner and you're like, whoa. Well, that's what it, rolling hills, is a lot. I think that one of the second biggest story out there right now, LeBron James and the LA Lakers not making the playoffs this year, you know, in 2018. So his first 4 years, 2018, 2019, they missed the playoffs. 2019, 2020 in the bubble, they won, in the NBA championship. 2021, they lost in the first round, and this year they did not make it. A total overhaul of probably everything in LA. I don't think Frank Vogel's going to be back. You've heard Doc Rivers. You've heard Quinn Snyder. I think it's a pretty known fact that, you know, it's going to have to go through LeBron. The one thing, and this will be the only criticism, and it's the only, when I'm criticizing LeBron, I don't criticize his place in history, his athleticism, his creativity, how old he is and how strong he is. He's still going. His stuff outside of, you know, all the things that he does outside of basketball. Here's the one thing, and most players aren't. He's not a good GM. You know, he got rid of some young talent that in these times this year that when they were having tough times, that young talent can help you. They have fresh legs. He's just at a point in his career. He doesn't want that. I think he's going to have to change that in his mind. So it'll be very curious to see what happens, but it has to be a huge disappointment for them to not have made the playoffs. So we'll have to see what is going on there. Just to go back to the Masters one more time today, it was also said today, and I did not know this until today, I thought that the Masters had asked LeBron James not to, or LeBron James, Phil Mickelson to come to the Masters. And today the Masters spokesperson said, no, that's not true. He called and said he was not coming to the Masters. And that's too bad. Phil is a, he's always been a bright light for golf, especially for the Masters. The first time he won the Masters, it was a huge deal. He'd been so close so many times. Sometimes Phil is Phil's worst enemy, and sometimes he gets in trouble because he likes to be flamboyant, and he likes to say things, and he likes being funny, and he likes being controversial, and there's a downside to that. And you find that out very quickly, and you find out who your friends are and who your friends aren't, and who you can make fun with and who you can't. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens with all that. Coaches poll came out late yesterday or early today. Iowa finished at 21. Iowa State finished at 23. I would consider both would be extremely happy. I think both. I think Iowa was not predicted to be at where it finished. Iowa State, I don't think anybody had any predictions. They won two games the year before. They hadn't won a game in the Big 12 in a long time. To finish number 23 in the country is a pretty big deal. And it's going to be very interesting to see how those teams come back and who they come back with. Iowa lost another. Austin Ashe left today. Had a hard time getting playing time. He's going to be, you know, that's somebody that, you know, does you and I take a run? Does Drake take a run? A shooter who can get you some points. Do they make a run at somebody like that? It's going to be very interesting to see. Speaking of the NCAA, so the final tabulation in this coaches poll, you had five teams from the Big Ten. You had three from the ACC. You had five from the Big 12. You had two from the Pac-12. He had five from the SEC, two from the Big East, and four smaller conference schools. So you can still see the Power Five still control. So your Power Five had 5, 10, 15. You had 20 out of the top 25 teams came from Power Five. So they still are there. They're not going anywhere. I saw some early rankings that had University of Iowa at number 23 in the country leading into next year. With the roster they currently have and not knowing what else is coming there and not making fun of Iowa, that's ludicrous. That, I mean, you're losing the runner-up in the Big Ten Player of the Year, you know, in the top five for College Player of the Year. You're losing that guy and had some other turnover. So you're looking for people to do things that they didn't do last year. Now, Keegan Murray hadn't done that the year before either because of Luka Garza being there. Joe Wieskamp being there. It's possible, but for where Keegan was to where Keegan ended up, I don't think that there's any. Maybe Chris. I've said all along, I can't tell the difference until they shoot. They have the same hustle. They have the same defense. They have the same long arms. It's going to be very, very interesting. On the women's side, interesting thing today, Maryland, a very good team in the Big Ten. Has now lost two of their top three players and two role players. So they've lost four players already this little bit of time the transfer portal has been open. That has to be very alarming for everybody. I truthfully hope, and talking to Kevin. And I get the 1-1, and I thought that in the women's game when they're playing quarters, that if you get to four fouls, it's 1-on-1, and if you get to six fouls, then you get two shots. I thought that's the way it is. I'm gonna have to do some checking on that. I think the four quarters makes a ton of sense. It's something I think that the NCAA needs to take a look at, because I don't think anybody could come on this program and say, well, the reason that we're going to continue to do this because they're going to give you that answer that nobody likes. Well, that's the way we've always done it. Well, nothing works that way. Absolutely nothing works based on, well, that's the way we used to do it. Everything changes. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. That hasn't changed. 101.3 FM, that doesn't change. 1700 Champ AM, that doesn't change. And I'll be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700, The Champ.
Traffic is moving slowly east 14th and University, so keep an eye out there. Also, I-80-35 near 2nd Avenue westbound is slowed down quite a bit. East 14th Street north of I-80-35 is closed at Northeast 54th Street due to a water main break, so avoid that area.
Uncomplicated mortgages? Heck yeah. 10 minutes is all you need to get pre-approved for a home loan from Community Choice. Quick closing, step-by-step help, and 24-7 access to your loan status. Get started at unbankwithus.com. Click Mortgage Done. Community Choice, NMLS number 405512, Equal Housing Lender.
This report is sponsored by Community Choice Credit Union.
If April is showering your company with open job positions, check out Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Sponsor your first job today and get hiring by visiting Indeed.com/credit. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com.
The Rookie. What? The Rookie. That's Sports Cards Place. Sports cards collectors, this is where you get baseball, football, basketball, and hockey cards. Knowledgeable staff, biggest selection in town of sports cards, and autographed memorabilia. The Rookie has a huge selection of single cards for collectors of all ages. Check out The Rookie's weekly bid board, silent auction for trading cards, located at 100th and Swanson Boulevard in Clive. Open 7 days a week. Also check out their website, therookiesportscards.com. The Rookie.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Need new wiper blades? Not sure which ones to buy? The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. We'll show you options for your specific car and even install them for free. Right now, save $10 per pair on Bosch Focus wiper blades, plus earn double O Rewards points. There's no better time to replace your wiper blades. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ray Magliozzi here for eBay Motors. So you have to drive 300 miles to your cousin's wedding. Okay, so it's his fourth. But you know what they say, fourth time's the charm. Well, here's the problem. Your tires are as bald as I am. But lucky for you, eBay Motors has tires for just about every make and model. Plus wheels, lug nuts, jack stands, and more. 122 million parts. Do they have tissues? Oh, good, because I'm definitely a crier. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors. Let's ride.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code STEEN and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Sign up today and find out why nothing beats a win at the King of Sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app or go to BetMGM.com and enter code STEEN and place your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Present in Iowa to bet. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
How do you give hope to a child in the foster care system? It starts with your heart. That tug you feel on yours when you hear that children are waiting for a stable, loving voice to speak up for their best interests. And then it becomes your time. What started out as a feeling that maybe you could make a difference becomes the difference. Change a child's story. There is a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Learn how you can help at casaiowa.org.
Every 2 minutes, a woman in the U.S. is diagnosed with breast cancer. And in that split second, her life changes forever. The toll of breast cancer is great. The need to support those who are battling the disease today is even greater. We're fighting alongside patients because we know one moment can change a lifetime. United by hope, we can end breast cancer. Join our fight. Save lives.
KBGG Des Moines and K267CY Des Moines. 101.3 FM and 1700 The Champ. A Cumulus Media station. Online at 1700thechamp.com. Steen on Sports is on your radio now.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. second hour starting right now with Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. Once again, want to thank Kevin O'Hare and Kevin Lehman for coming in today. And